share with you. It's from 1 John chapter 1, verses 1 through 4. We declare to you what was from the beginning, what we have heard, what we have seen with our eyes, what we have looked at and touched with our hands concerning the word of life. This life was revealed. Life was revealed, and we have seen it and testified to it, and declare to you the eternal life that was with the Father and was revealed to us. We declare to you what we have seen and heard, so that you also may have fellowship with us, and truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. We are writing these things so that our joy may be complete. So ends the second reading of God's word. What is your mood today? What are you feeling? I look out here, I was kind of paying attention, and I sense a lack of energy. Now, some of us walked quite a ways yesterday. Others, I'm sure, did other things that used energy. But I got to tell you, this is not that kind of sermon. You don't get to sit there and not have energy. So I'm going to make that clear from the very beginning. This sermon is fun. This, you know, sometimes I'm called to preach sermons that are real convicting and tough. Sometimes I'm called to preach sermons, thank you, Mercedes. I'm called to preach sermons that are sensitive and deep and prayerful. This one is a sermon of celebration. Are you ready?
Hallelujah!
Hallelujah. Don't get me started. I can do it with the best of them. It's a lot of fun. It's a lot of fun. But did you know we have a celebration today? As I looked at the message and what was going on in our church, I went, oh my gosh. Oh my gosh, we have three, if not four, things to celebrate today. And they all fit together in the passages that were chosen weeks ago. I love how God does that. So first, we are celebrating our walk for water. I didn't talk about it in the announcements because I wanted to share it during this message of celebration. And I've asked Bob Troitline to come and just briefly share what we're praising God for. Sue, too. Awesome. You can see the picture here. This is the group that walked yesterday.
Well, yesterday, it was just a wonderful day, and I really don't know where to begin. I got to share a lot of this yesterday, so those of you that get to hear it again.
So last year, Sue had a vision just to plant a seed, and that was to do our walk for water and to support the 6K. Last year, it was just kind of one of those things. We put it together at the last minute. It came together very well. But we raised, I think we had about 12 people walking, and we raised about $600.
Which was awesome.
Which was good. Which that's not to be dismissive of that. But just by planting a seed, and you can just see how the Lord works, just by planting that one little seed, a year later, I believe we had probably about 65, 70 people walking. We had four churches support this. We had Mission Covenant, Bethany Lutheran, St. Mary's, and the Methodist Church. And so that's how it morphed. It morphed into that. And it all just started by planting the seed.
Those are the three pastors.
The three amigos. Just by planting a seed, you can just see how this thing grew. And the last time I checked, our church alone, my computer died this morning, so, you know. Naturally. But anyhow, we're about at a... I'm quite sure we're over the $3,000 mark because I have some money still to input, some last-minute donations. So this church alone put together $3,000.
From $600 to
$3,000. And the... St. Mary's and the other churches contributed also, and also Bethany Lutheran did contribute to our, so our three, part of our $3,000 did come from Bethany Lutheran. I apologize for not mentioning that earlier. And but still, that's one tremendous growth. And St. Mary's, they put together, bottom line is, we put together like $6,000. And just to give you an idea, it's $4,000, this community, these four churches put together $6,000. Just to give you an idea, it costs around $4,200 to dig a well in like in the Congo in some of these villages. So now you don't have a child, and it's usually the girls that end up taking a 6-kilometer walk to go get a bucket of water, and that's what they got to live off of for the day. So they don't get to go to school. They miss out on a lot in life because that's what their job is, go fetch the water. So just think about that there's a village somewhere out there that's going to get a well just because of this group of churches. And the other thing I'd like to mention is, again, about sowing seed. I have to mention that if you just look, the chair of our church and all the other church chairs, they get together and they collaborate and they meet. And thank you, Mercedes, for doing that. And they take their time out to go meet and collaborate, and they help put this together. Also, the pastors. The pastors all meet. They have a luncheon, and this is how this morphed, just by other individuals talking and sharing, and how it just morphed together by just by reaching out and doing a little bit of collaborating. And this is where we've gone. So I'm just so excited for this, and I'm just excited to see just exactly what's going to happen next year, because I know it's only going to grow. And thank you very much, everybody, for contributing. I'm very grateful for it. It really made my day. Just thank you very much. Sue?
I just want to thank my husband, Bob. I didn't really have time to put any time into this year, and he took over and did a wonderful job, and I just want to thank him. And, you know, I just feel like, you know, maybe that we should just symbolically, this, you know, this is our fruit. Maybe you should be stand over here, Bob, and be Congo. And
Congo Bob.
Okay. And this is water, everybody. And you're the village. And we just brought them water for life. Is that not amazing? This is my dream 20 years ago when Bob and I first started watching the 700 Club, and they were doing wells everywhere. And I said, you know, wouldn't it be great to do a well someday? It took 20 years, but it's here. So I look forward to next year, and maybe we can do four. Who knows? You know, whatever. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Bob.
So is that we're celebrating? Yeah? Okay, so to give you perspective in this, besides the well that can be done, because that's how much? A well? 4,200? So that leaves 1,800. It takes $50 to provide water for a year for one child. So it's not just a well. It's way beyond that. And to bring hope to the people in these villages in the Congo. So I have a question for you. Why did we do this? Okay, for why? Why are we? For humanity. Okay, so what makes us different than the Rotary Club? Because they do it. The 700 Club does it. Oh, we're connecting it to Christ. Christ told us to serve the least of these. And in this area of the Congo where this water will be provided, it's the poorest of the poor of the poor. We are called to reach the least of these. What is the point of having the church and world vision be known as the ones providing the water? What's the point? They're learning about Jesus, are they not? It's about reaching out. As Ken said, it's about evangelism. That's what this was. Oh my, what a celebration. What an impact this little community made. And when you look at that picture and you see how many orange shirts there are there, picture in your mind this mass of orange shirts walking down South Main Street. It was so fun to watch people looking, you know, what's going on? And a little extra thing to know, when we were coming back, there was a group of folks doing a work party at New Life Church, right? We've tried to include New Life, but they have kind of stayed separate. And it's been something we've been praying about. And as some of our folks went by, they went and helped. Nobody asked them to. They went, "Can we help you?" Oh, makes a pastor's heart very proud. Very proud. Then Father Sean had the chance to finally connect one-on-one with the pastor. And they want to join our clergy group. Oh, my goodness. Look what God is doing. So that's the first thing. Second thing. Why do we have all this red up here? There are a lot of you that do not have this kind of background in church. Why did it suddenly change to red? Come on. Pentecost. Now, those that don't know about it, you're off the hook. Every year, we celebrate Pentecost, and we always read that passage from Acts. Because on the day of Pentecost, there's an outpouring of the Holy Spirit in such a dramatic way. Right? So here's a question for you. Is this the first time in the New Testament that we have the Holy Spirit? Good, because many people think it is. They think somehow the Holy Spirit was just in Christ until this particular day, but that's not true. And so being who I am, I went through and I thought, okay, let's find when it happened. So John the Baptist's dad, Zechariah, he was told by an angel that that his child would be filled with the Holy Spirit in the womb. In the womb. And we know that's the case because when Elizabeth, John's mom, saw Mary, the mother of Jesus, that baby leapt in her womb and she was filled with the Holy Spirit. Zechariah, when John is born, it says, was filled by the Holy Spirit and began to prophesy. When Jesus was brought to the temple after his birth, there was a guy there who had been waiting and waiting and waiting and waiting for Jesus to come. His name was Simeon. Good job. Simeon was waiting. He was filled with the Holy Spirit and recognized the infant as the Messiah. Jesus breathed the Spirit on his disciples. It's very personal. After he rose from the dead, I think we talked about this. How special that was. But what made it so significant at Pentecost? Think about it. Okay? So first of all, Pentecost was a festival that was part of the Jewish tradition. It was called the Festival of Weeks because it was to take place 7 weeks after the appearance of the first heads of wheat. Okay, it was a time of celebrating the harvest. And it was a time of celebrating how richly God had blessed his people. And so they would come together in Jerusalem. This is one of the 3 times that they would come and travel to Jerusalem. They come together and they were commanded by God to party. Really? You know we're supposed to be part of that, right? Did you know we're commanded to party? That's just, for some of us, that's so foreign. It's like, no, when we're talking about God, we have to be appropriate. They were commanded to party, and they were commanded to party with celebration everywhere for what God had done. So here we have Jerusalem at Pentecost. We don't know how many people were there. I read, I don't know how many articles on this, and nobody could agree. But we do know it was at least tens of thousands of extra people that came to Jerusalem. Some people said as many as 200,000. But again, don't take that as absolute because there was contradiction with it. But I love this. When you look further from the passage from where Will read, listen to this. Verses 9 to 13, Parthians Medes, Elamites, and residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the parts of Libya, belonging to Cyrene and visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabs. In our own languages, we hear them speaking about God's deeds of power. All were amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, "What does this mean?" And this is one of two of my favorite verses. But others sneered and said, "They are filled with new wine. They're drunk." You know what the next verse says? "We're not drunk. It's only 9 o'clock in the morning." I love that. That preaches. It's really kind of fun. But that's not what we're talking about today. So you have people who are traveling huge distances from Africa, from Asia, all the way up into Italy and Rome, coming to Jerusalem. They all speak different languages. And they are there. The Holy Spirit is poured out. And what was the result? We know it's the gift of tongues. That's something we discuss in the church. But in this particular instance, what was the gift used for? Speaking languages, right, of those people that were there. And what were they talking about that the people received? Who were they talking about? Jesus. This was another evangelism strategy. Wow! I'm hearing this incredible story in my own language. It has to be a miracle. Has to be. Big celebration. This is Pentecost. It's one of the most joyful Sundays of the church year. Second only to Easter. Yeah, second only to Easter. Christmas is probably right in there. So what's the third thing we're celebrating? What have we been talking about for the last 6 weeks? Bless. Are we blessed? Yes. Are we a blessing? We just provided water. Yeah. We've been doing bless. Begin with prayer. Listen with care. Where is it? It fell again. Eat together. It's so funny. It's so full. It keeps falling off the wall. It was off yesterday, too. Eat together, serve with love, and today, share your story. Share your story. The walk for water shares our story. Pentecost. The gifts were given so they could share the story. In the Bless series, we've been learning how to share through praying, through listening, through eating. We did that one really well. Through serving. And now it leads to sharing. First, the first John passage says, "We declare to you what was from the beginning, what we have heard, what we have seen with our eyes, what we have looked at and touched with our hands concerning the word of life." How much of your story is that? What we've seen, what we've looked at, what we've touched, what we've heard, that's our testimony. That's our testimony. Jesus spent 3 years with John. Why? Why? To train him? For what? To minister him to him? Why? To reveal himself to him? Why? To have fellowship with him? Oh, to give him eternal life, that's for sure. John wrote 4 books in the New Testament. 4. Why did he do it? To share his story. To share his story. And it says, he writes, his joy is complete when he shares his story. What a way to look at evangelism. Instead of saying, "What are they going to think? What if I say the wrong thing? I don't know enough." You know your story, right? Only you knows your story. Do we realize that our whole life is a testimony? Do we realize that? Any of you, don't raise your hands. Any of you gone through hard times? If I were to guess, most of us have, if not all of us, have gone through hard times. I've been through a lot. I've been through divorce. I've been through rejection. I've been through serious illness. Been through financial distress. Loss after loss. And my testimony is how God walked with me every step of the way. Every step of the way. You can't argue with me about my story. You can't. And when you look at my story, if you heard the whole thing, which I won't do, one-on-one, anytime, when you hear that story, you cannot help but see Jesus Christ in my life, because I couldn't have done it without him. Couldn't have done it. I'm a crazy woman who dropped everything and moved across the country in a truck. Walking with my dogs yesterday in the Walk for Water, and I'm going, somebody says, oh, how did they get to Massachusetts? I said, in the cab of the truck, along with the cat and my sister and me. Every time I see one of those huge Penske trucks, I go, oh, Lord, please don't make me do that again. But I couldn't have done it. I wouldn't have had the faith to do what I did if God had not walked with me through my life prior to it. Couldn't have done it. You too have a testimony. You have a testimony. What is your story? What are you doing with it? I get to preach. It's easy. I get to preach. So I can say I'm sharing my story. But when I'm having conversations with people, that's when I have to do it too, just like the rest of us. Each one of us has been given the purpose of sharing our story of faith through sharing our story of life. If we don't share, it was a waste. It was a waste. We get to share our story. Do you see the energy I have? That joy of sharing what Christ has done is energizing. It's energizing. We are called to bless others. We're called to do that. We've sung about it today. We've seen pictures of how God has worked. But it means very little unless we share it. Unless we share it. You have no idea what's coming. But I can tell you one thing. You're going to want to share your story. Because God is moving in Orange in a way that is... I just stand back and go, I don't know why I get to be a part of this. It's so incredible what he's doing. That Walk for Water, that combination of four churches doing what they did, is unheard of. Churches don't do that. Churches don't get along. Catholics and Protestants don't do things together like this. But it's happening in Orange. Because God is here. And God is in this place. He's in this church. And the zest from the outside of this Orange is going to come to mean a lot to you. It's going to come to mean a lot. And I know that Ken is going to be our zester, because he told us, Judy, that he is the expert zester. Taking the peel off and smelling the sweet fragrance. God is ready for us to share our stories, to grow his kingdom. The total witness of yesterday of this massive group, a community of faith, unity in the body of Christ. Jesus promised that he would bless that. And he already is, and he will continue to do so. We each have our part to play. We each are called to share our story. So that's my challenge for you. As we move forward beyond talking about bless, and we move into talking about zest,
your story. Share it. Would you pray with me, please? Lord Jesus, thank you. Thank you that we get to be part of this community, to watch a revival, to watch a transformation that can only come through your power. Lord, let us step out. Share our stories. Let us live into our mission statement of inviting people, of serving our community, Lord, following you and making new friends. Thank you for wanting us to be part of your mission. What a privilege that is. Inspire us. Set us on fire on this day of Pentecost, that we may go forward from this place changed. It's in your name we pray, and all God's people say, Amen.